Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is Major League Baseball for Friday, April 26th. Give you the recap for Wednesday. Here was a pretty good day overall for us. First 5-0. A grade sites didn't do well, but you can still see that positive. We're going to talk about that in a second. And again, kind of as has been the case here, 2 out of 3 on the extra picks there between the play of the day over on Dub Club. The free pick over on Twitter. I think we're starting to put that on Instagram now as well. And the Moneyline Parlay of the day. We are recording this here on Thursday. Most of the day games on Thursday are done. It will be a profitable Thursday. The only question at this point is how profitable, but we swept the play of the day, the extra credit pick, and the Moneyline Parlay of the day here on Thursday. So another good day for us. We're going to continue with the same format here. And I apologize if I was not clear about this. I apologize that I was not clear, I should say, in the format going forward. The first 5 picks are doing so well, and I want to focus on those. There's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, there's a difference between modeling bullpens and starting pitchers, and it seems apparent. The first 5 model was something we added last year, so it's still very new, but it seems apparent that the model is doing a better job at identifying starting pitchers and a weaker job with bullpens. Part of that is because bullpen usage is weird. We don't know who's going to pitch, and it requires maybe a little bit of extra legwork to figure out who's even available. That's something I've thought about doing at this point in my life with two little ones, with a newborn specifically, who's still up in the middle of the night multiple times. It's just not really feasible for me. But I thought about how I can put in how many pitches the guy threw the night before, you know, going back multiple days, kind of figuring out probability he can be used. I think there are ways to do that, but right now, we just don't have that capability, unfortunately. And the first 5s are doing great. So really want to focus on the first 5s. Well, also want to make sure to get this out to you, the viewer, as fast as possible. The views don't do as well. YouTube, the algorithm doesn't do as well. If I drop this in the morning, I'm not able to do it. I can't get up before I'm into it, people. I'm sorry. It's just not the season of my life that I'm in with the littles and trying to still watch some of these games because A, I enjoy it, but B, it helps me be able to talk a little bit better about them and whatnot. And then having, you know, the other child, you know, getting her off to school in the morning. So if I do it in the morning later, it just gets late in the day. And some of y'all can't see it because you like to watch this or listen to this on your way to work. Appreciate y'all if you are doing that, getting up in the morning with your coffee. And so getting this out the night before, I think helps a lot. But the first 5 markets aren't out there. So the format here, I think this is the best thing, at least for now. But hey, we may change it up again. You know, I change things all the time here because I'm always trying to make things better. But I'm going to walk you through the A grade threshold for every single money line game. The A grade side's there, 2.7% ROI. That's about what I'd expect. Unfortunately, that 16% ROI, I mean, that's incredible. That ain't going to hold, unfortunately. That's not realistic. We held that for NFL, which was incredible, to like a 22% ROI on A grade sides. It's also a really small sample size, right? As the season gets on and we pick more and more games, a 3% ROI on A grade sides that a model is generating is really good. And that's about what I expect from this. So I'm giving you that A grade threshold because I'm telling you, hey, you have a price that you can circle and you can say, if I can find that price, it becomes profitable. Why? Because the probability that team wins the game doesn't change. But if your payout gets better, if your risk gets smaller, that's how you can make money. And so that's what I'm going to outline for you. If you want to be spoon-fed the picks, you got to be on Dub Club for that. This is what I do when I wake up in the middle of the day and before I go to sleep. This is how I feed my family here. And so if you're with us on Dub Club, thank you so much. Really do appreciate it. Try to give you all as much love as possible, give you all as much information as possible, as many benefits as possible. But that's where I'm going to kind of spoon-feed you the picks in a post in the morning. I'm going to say, here it all is. You know. But if not, here, you know, the old adage, you get what you pay for. And so if you're with us on Dub Club and you're paying, you will get everything I can give you. My whole kingdom is yours, people. If not, you get what you pay, because you got to put a little time. Time is money. And you might have to put a little bit of time in because I'm going to give you, but I'm still giving it to you, people. I feel like I'm being very generous here. So I appreciate your kindness in the comments because I'm telling you, the threshold that makes it an A grade side play, as you can see so far, sample size over 103%, and I hope that I've demonstrated with you by now that for the most part, when we get these A-grade sides, they are good picks. That's what I've been spending all my time on here, it seems like, in the last, you know, almost decade now, working on how to get these thresholds for these A-grade picks. So I'm telling you exactly where. So I'm giving, but you have to watch the show. You have to look at it. You have to go to your sports book and see what the prices are, right? So hopefully there's some good value in BetFF. I'm trying to be as generous as I can here. But based off the timing and everything, I think this is the best scenario. So if you want all those first five picks, Dub Club is the place to be. Play of the day, Dub Club is the place to be. Money on Parlay Day, Dub Club is the place to be. But if you're here with us, hopefully you can learn something. You're entertained. You get a little information about the games. And again, I am telling you exactly what price you should play the A-grade side at. The first five information, unfortunately, a little bit harder to give you all of that or else the show will run on forever. So again, hopefully that makes sense. Hopefully that's good for you. As always, I am always looking to improve things. I always appreciate constructive, positive, good feedback. But again, Dub Club, Discord chat, full slate of picks, updates, summaries, information, everything I can give you over there. And a 10-day free trial to check out if you are not with us yet. Link in the show description or that QR code will get you there. Some reminders, information about the model community rules, pickswiththeprofessor.com/new weather information, subject to change. We are 24 hours out. At this point, we are projecting an average game. One game, anything can happen. Nobody in their right mind expected the Rockies to score however many runs they didn't come back and win here on Thursday. Weird things happen in one game. We don't care about one game. It sucks to lose. I'm with you. I don't like losing anything. But we know we're going to lose. We know if we have a 55% winner, we know we're going to lose 9 out of 20. That's okay because if we're playing a 55% winner, we're playing at a price like minus 110, and if we're winning minus 110s at 55%, we're going to be doing good. If we're playing minus 150s and winning them at 65%, we're going to be doing good. If we're playing plus 110s and winning at 50%, we're going to be doing good, whatever the math works out to be. That's how we're going to make money here. But that one game, weird things are going to happen. One of these games is going to just go haywire. That's okay. We don't worry about it. The idea is we're looking for the best prices, best numbers out there, figuring out what they are, shopping around to get the best one, but also just knowing what you're looking for. And that's what I'm going to give you today. But as always, take what you like and leave the rest. Unless if you could like the show, we appreciate it. We like it when you like it. It helps other people find us. Starting off an afternoon game, Royals and the Tigers. Interesting note on this one, folks, that the Royals just called the game here on Thursday after sitting around. They were supposed to like already be in Detroit. By this point, probably not. Now, what helped, I guess, is they only waited so long and they would have been playing, but that delayed them a little bit. It's a weird situation. The fact that they didn't finish that game means their bullpen is completely rested. So that helps. And the Royals bullpen rising up the rankings here, according to Sideline, getting better and better by the day. What was a weakness for this team as part of the reason why this team is going to do well, the bullpen's are also. So they're rested, but you just have to wonder if that throws anything into travel. In fact, this is a day game for Detroit, who's just been sitting at home. So that's where, if I'm looking at this, I'm thinking it's Tigers or pass. Doesn't mean the Royals don't win, but that's just a concerning spot where they sat around all day in the rain, didn't know what they were doing, got out late, now playing a day game. I'm not saying the Royals don't win. I don't want to be any part of the Royals. It's Tigers or pass. Starting pitching-wise, pretty even. Both these guys are respectable, Seth Lugo and Reese Olson. I don't think Lugo's as good as that 2.03 ERA's advanced metrics put him more in the upper threes, mid-low fours. I think he's very solid. I think he's pitched over his head so far with regards to earned runs, but as I've preached all season long, earned runs are not a very good way to judge how good a pitcher is. We've learned that over the last decade, just like the decade before we learned that wins and losses might not be the best way. And some of you have not seen the light yet. It's okay. I'm sure you will, because you probably thought 10 years ago that wins and losses were a good way, but we knew then it wasn't. And now you probably know now that wins and losses might not matter. So give it another 10 years, you'll figure it out. You'll get there with this, but you just have to trust me on this one, right? I'm very educated and this is my area of expertise. Earned runs are not the best way to judge a pitcher. Lugo's done good at that, but he's not that good. So keep that in mind. Olsen, 3.80 ERA lines up perfectly. I think that is a good representation for him specifically. Pretty even pitchers. Bullpen-wise, folks, I can't believe I'm saying this. The Royals might actually have a little bit of a better bullpen. What a turn of events that's become. Offensively, I don't really trust either one of these offenses. The Royals' offense has started to get a little bit weaker and weaker and weaker after that really hot start. We kind of knew there was a chance that some of that would be coming back to earth. And that's a little bit what we've seen here lately. Now, thankfully for them, the bullpen has picked it up and the starting pitching's looked really good. So they're still looking like a respectable team. That said, for this game, we've got the Tigers 53%, basically a coin toss game, but then you put it in Detroit, give them a little bit of an advantage there. You can see the A grade thresholds there for the Tigers. To me, again, it's Tigers or pass. If I can get basically even money or better on the Tigers, I'm taking it. Right now, the current price isn't quite that good. You'd be at B grade great value right now. Obviously, always shop around, try to get the best price possible. But even at a B grade might be reasonable. First five angle might be reasonable as well because of the fact of the way this game ended. Now, it had the Royals finished the game with Toronto and had to use multiple innings of bullpen guys, maybe then you'd rather have the full game because you know that bullpen is in a little bit worse shape. With the fully rested Royals bullpen, maybe the first five of the Tigers makes more sense. All depends on the price, but those thresholds as well are on Thub Club. So again, check that out. Link in the show description if you're not with us yet. Projected total of 7.7 for what looks to be a fairly chilly day in Detroit, low 60. So a day game, but not going to be a game where the ball flies because it's not overly warm. And on top of that, the wind will be blowing in at about 10 miles an hour. So we're going to play fairly pitcher friendly here, not pitcher friendly enough to go under seven. And I think we had a good example of that in that Pirates Brewers game where we said, hey, this is great pitching here on Thursday, but we were on the over on that one. And that hit because at some point the number can't get that low, right? And I'd say the same thing here. I expect a low number of runs, but that doesn't mean I'm playing under seven, but not going to be very hitter friendly. So a game that if the weather was better, you'd expect more like nine runs here. I think we're expecting more like eight. So the night games, A's and the Orioles, 7:05 p.m. Eastern, low 50s in Baltimore. Wind looks to be blowing across. Going to play fairly pitcher-friendly. That park's become more pitcher-friendly since they moved the outfield back, of course. And a chilly night will help out matters there. Corbin Burns doesn't really need any help. According to Sideline, the sixth best pitcher in baseball. Ross Stripling, again, I've talked about this before. Him and Blackburn are the two best pitchers in the A's. And again, don't be fooled by that ERA of 5.34. His underlying metrics are in the low to mid threes. He's actually pretty respectable. Below average for Major League Baseball starting pitchers is the projection. Part of this previous season, but so far this year, he's actually been better than that. So again, for the A's, a reasonable pitcher, reasonable to back him in that I at least have confidence he can be competent, where there's a couple guys in the A's and I'm a little bit more worried about. That said, the Orioles should be massive favorites in this game at home. They have an incredible offense. The A's offense and bullpen, you know, not great. A's not a great team at all. I mean, I don't really think I have to go more in depth about that. The only question is, what is a good price? Because we all know the Orioles should be favored. The model says they win 75% of the time. Right now, the A-grade threshold for the Orioles, -269, you can pretty much get that right now. So this is a game where I think the Royals make a lot of sense. Here's the caution on this one, though. We talk about this a lot. The further away from even money, the more variance you induce to your bankroll because one game can hurt you more or the fact that if you can't get one of those rare events can keep you down in the doldrums a little more if it's on the plus side. So this might be a game where you look at a run line. I personally, y'all know, if y'all been watching, I love the -1. That's where I'd be looking at this game. It's an Orioles -1. If they win by one in a tight game, you just say, hey, we got it at Dodge. The Orioles bullpen, still better than the A's bullpen at this point. I know the A's bullpen looks good so far, and its rating continues to improve. But the A's playing here on Thursday night, you assume they're going to use some of those relievers. The Orioles have an off night, so they should be rested bullpen-wise. I don't really see any reason why we wouldn't be on the Orioles unless the price changes a lot. The only question is how. Again, like I said, I'm looking probably more at -1. First side market might not be bad, but again, I don't really love fading Stripling. I think, and the reason why is in general, we want to have positions where we know our views differ from what the market says. That's not necessarily like a hard and fast rule, but think about the stock market, right? Think about the stock market. If you, and I've never like bought a single stock in my life, so I don't really have any experience, but just think about it. If everybody says, if everybody loves Apple and the new phone that's coming out, whatever, I'm making something up here, right? And everybody loves it and its price is $100 a share and everybody loves it, like, you could buy into that, but like everybody already loves it. So it's like, are you really getting any value, right? You kind of would rather short that position if you thought there was reason to. Now there may not be a reason to, so you stay away. You'd rather buy a stock where people are down on it, but you say like, I think there's reason for this to improve because X, Y, and Z, and everyone else is down on it. You kind of want to go the other direction. I don't think the market realizes that Stripling's decent. He's not good, don't get me wrong, but I think he's decent. And so that's why it's a little bit harder to fade him in a first five where it's only him, at least in the full game. We feel more confident that the Orioles edge will shine through. That offense is incredible. Number two rated according to Sideline. Just cannot say enough good things about it. So hopefully some of that made sense there for you. Again, right now I'd be looking at Orioles -1, but it all depends on the price, how much you're putting on it. And again, want to see the first five before we lock anything in. Dodgers and the Blue Jays, chilly night in Toronto. Roof closed for this one. Gavin Stone and Chris Bassett. Stone, much better than that 6 ERA. Very respectable pitcher. Bassett, probably not as good as that 390 ERA. Bassett's still the better pitcher, but not by as much as the ERAs would lead you to think, if that's what you're seeing, you know, provided as the information kind of readily available to you. So small edge to Blue Jays with regards to starting pitcher. Bullpen's pretty even, not really a huge difference. Offensively, the Blue Jays offense, again, coming around for the most part. The fact they only scored one run off Cole Reagan's on Thursday aside. Dodgers offense really good, really nothing else to say about that. This should be an interesting contest here. The fact that the Blue Jays have a better starting pitcher at home gives them a fighting chance, and this model's got it pretty close to a coin toss. And so you can see the A grade threshold there. Unfortunately, we're not getting anywhere near that for either side, because the Dodgers should be slight favorites and they are slight favorites. But as always, if you shop around, you might be able to find a pretty reasonable price on the Blue Jays. This is a game, though, however, that I'm looking at and saying, you know, our first five model has been just so spot on. And I think there might be an edge here in the first five market, because I'm not sure the market is viewing these starting pitchers accurately. So I definitely want to see where the first five market looks at. Again, all that information available on Dub Club, because that model just looks so good. I might just kind of trust that more than anything. But as always, people, shop around the A-grade threshold here for the Blue Jays plus 118. It's about a dime away from what I'm seeing now. But if you can find that extra dime out there, the A-grade sides, you can almost blindly back, because they have continued to prove over the years, time and time again, that they provide a positive ROI. So that's why I'm giving you those thresholds there. If you don't have an account with them yet, BetUS, one of those places you can shop around. First ever three deposits gets you 125% bonus.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Nats and the Marlins. Jesus Lizardo against Trevor Williams. Lizardo, not nearly as bad as that ERA would indicate, still pretty good. The underlying metrics, though, are a little bit of a concern. He came into the season with a grade in the 80s. Now it's up to 90. So again, he's not pitched as well as you would hope. I believe his last start looked a little bit more encouraging for him. But again, not been a great season. Maybe not as bad as the ERA would indicate, but you have to be a little bit concerned. Trevor Williams, on the other hand, is the other direction. A guy who we came into the season had no hopes for and has pitched really well in his four starts. And folks, it's not smoke and mirrors. He's pitched well. And so now when you look at a guy like Trevor Williams, and I mentioned this earlier in the week, we're at an interesting point of the season. Most of these pitchers have four or five starts, and you have to look at a guy like Trevor Williams. And he's one of many out there who have pitched drastically different than what we thought about them coming into the season. And you have to try to synthesize those two things and say, do I think what he's done is real and that it will continue? Or do I think it's just been he's faced the right teams, the right situations, and that previous data matters? The model's trying to synthesize that to the best of its ability. And it still says that Lizardo is a better pitcher by a decent way. So far this year, that hasn't been the case. And so trying to figure that out and how you feel about that, I think gives you a good, you know, approach to how you would handle this game. Offensively, both of these teams have their questions. You saw it on Thursday for the Nats, only scoring one run against the Dodgers. That's not really been a spot where they've done well offensively. You have a guy like Gallo in the middle of the lineup, maybe not quite doing what they thought. They've got a guy like Luis Garcia coming up there hitting cleanup, who I'm not saying he's having a solid season, but on a good team, he's probably hitting seven hole, right? So you can see that offense is good. And of note, they are very left-handed heavy. So facing Lizardo works out really well for Lizardo. And this, their offensive grade against the lefties is the same as the Marlins against the righty. And by that, I mean, they're both terrible. So do not expect a lot of good offense in this one. If Williams can keep pitching the way he's been pitching, if Lizardo can pitch the way we thought he would coming into the season, the way there's going to be offense is if Lizardo continues to pitch as bad as he's been this season and Williams reverts back to last year. So that's, again, the big question. Bullpen-wise, I don't really trust either one of these bullpens. So this is another game where a first five might make sense just because I don't know what to expect once you get past the fifth or sixth inning on this one. But as you can see, the current price on the Marlins, I think, is way too high. I think Lizardo is the better pitcher by a lot, but the current price of minus 162 on the Marlins just seems absurd. So right now, unless something changes with the price, it's Nats or pass. The question is just, do you want to take them full game? Do you want to take them first five? In general, I look at a bullpen like the Nats and I say, I want first five and I want to get a Dodge against the Marlins. I mean, their bullpen hasn't been that good, so maybe it's not crazy. Right now, we're nowhere near the A-grade threshold price, but maybe the first five market on the Nats makes sense. Again, who knows? We'll find out more in the morning. But as of now, nothing that I'm running to play in a game where, you know, the Marlins should be favored, but I think they might be favored by a little bit too much. Mets and the Cardinals, upper 40s for this one. Wind, slight breeze blowing out. We have a very pitcher-friendly ballpark there at Citi Field. And in the 40s, the wind is not going to be blowing out strong enough to really offset that. So a very pitcher-friendly night. Miles Michaelis and Jose Buto pitching for the Mets has been fantastic in his three starts. Really good pitcher. I think he's the real deal. I'm not sure he's going to quite hold up this 165 ERA, but I think he'll be very good. For them, Michaelis not as bad as that 6.49 ERA, but at this point, I don't think he's a very good pitcher. I don't think he's been a very good pitcher for a few years now, to be completely honest. So the Mets will have a pretty big edge there at starting pitcher. Bullpen-wise, the Cardinals' bullpen's pretty strong, but the Mets' bullpen, as I've been talking about all week, really been what's carrying them. Mets might have a slight edge on offense. We've got this one at Mets 64%. And so you can see that A-grade threshold at minus 158. So again, look around at your sportsbook, see what kind of price you can find. If you can beat that minus 158, that would be an A-grade play on the Mets in a game with a projected total of 7.7. Again, never expect a lot of runs in that park, especially on a upper 40-degree day. Cubs and the White Sox, low 40s for this one. When looking across in a hitter-friendly ballpark, but a chilly night, folks, I have to just say with the totals of Boston, you never really know what to expect. And I think I mentioned this before, the park dimensions are so weird. You can end up with stretches where it's cold and the ball isn't carrying and low-scoring games. But with the Green Monster out there, with the really short right field, with a really wonky big center field, with almost no foul territory, you can get runs in bunches there. So definitely weather going to offset the hitter friendliness, but by how much is a question that unfortunately is going to come down to the ins and outs of the game, which we can't predict. So on average, I would expect about 9 runs in this one, but I think a high variance total, to say the least. Offensively, the Red Sox offense now with Devers back is better. The Cubs offense now with Bellinger out, you know, a little bit worse. But it's not that big of a difference. Same thing with the starting pitchers. Not that big of a difference. You know, Red Sox slight edge on offense, Cubs slight edge at starting pitcher. But both these pitchers are very good. Imanaga, low ERA, underlying metrics not quite that good, but still very promising. FIP around 2x FIP in the low 3s. So very pleased with his performance if you're a Cubs fan. And the same story for Cutter Crawford. Insane ERA. Both these guys, insane ERA. They're not going to keep that up. But Crawford, similar story. Low 2 FIP and upper 3x FIP. That's why he's a little bit further behind. But I mean, both these guys look really good. Both sets of relievers have question marks. And so if there are runs based off of the quality of the starting pitching, you expect that to come later in the game. But again, with this park, you just never know. So just keep that in my high variance total here. Model says really a coin toss game in Boston gives the Red Sox the edge, and that's what makes them minus 111 favorites, according to the model. You're almost to an A-grade price right now with the Red Sox, so that's the way we would be looking. I'm not going to blind back a full game side until it does get to the A-grade threshold here, which is plus 101, so I'm not seeing that just yet, but if you can get plus odds, you have to think hard about the Red Sox, and again, maybe a first five market will make sense as well. To be determined, again, all those picks available on Dub Club. Guardians and the Braves, mid-60s for this one. Wind will be blowing a little bit in, a little bit across. One where we are going to really want to check the weather as we get closer to this game. If you are a totals better, if the wind is blowing in, it's going to play fairly pitcher-friendly, and the projected runs might sneak under 8. If it's across, it's going to play pretty normal. And when you look at the Braves offense, probably more of a projected total around 8.5. So going to matter on this because the wind 10 to 15 miles an hour, if it just shifts a little bit, if it's more in or more across, it's really going to matter here which direction the wind's going. Logan Allen for the Guardians, Chris Sale for the Braves, a pair of lefties. Sale much better than that ERA. Logan Allen probably not much better than the ERA. It's a massive starting pitcher edge to the Red Sox. Chris Sale looking like he's found his old form. I have to be pretty pleased with him if you are a Braves fan. Braves relievers good. Guardians relievers good. Two sets of good relievers. So if you the only reason we're gonna have runs in this game, you would think, would be just the offenses can get it done. But the pitching sets up to be, tough for runs to happen. The biggest area where the model thinks runs can happen, of course, is the Braves offense against Logan Allen. Once he's out of the game against Guardians relievers, it's going to be harder for the Braves to score. It's hard for anybody to score on Sale and the Braves relievers. And so that's really where the edge the model has on the Braves is coming from. Says they win about 2 out of 3 times. Right now you'd be looking at a solid B grade on the Braves, not quite to that A grade threshold, but again, never know as the lines change, lines move as you shop around. If you can get to that minus 183, I'd be on the Braves. This one though, another one like one we talked about earlier here, another one like the one we're talking about next, have to be thinking about a minus one. I don't love the run line for the home team, but a minus one might at least take the bite out of some of the big price there. But there does seem to be an edge on the Braves. They should be slightly bigger favorites than the market anticipates, as I think the starting pitcher discrepancy here is fairly large. I'm not sure the market's quite realizing the difference between Sale and Logan Allen. Raising the White Sox mid-50s, wind will be blowing in at about 15 miles an hour. That's going to make this fairly pitcher-friendly. Obviously, your pitcher friendliness always happens when you're facing the White Sox and that atrocious offense. Zach Eflin kind of rebounding after a couple questionable early outings, looking very respectable with regards to all of the metrics that you might want to look at. Chris Flexen, not good, not maybe as bad as the ERA, but not a very good pitcher. I mean, this is one of the top pitchers versus one of the worst. You can see, according to Sideline, Flexen is the second worst starting pitcher in my database, whereas Zach Eflin's the 14th best. I mean, this is it's about as big of a starting pitcher mismatch as you can have. Offensively, it's a big mismatch because the White Sox offense is so terrible. The Rays have been very questionable, but you know what fixes questionable play is facing the White Sox as bad as they've been. The model says the Rays win the 72% of the time. Folks, the White Sox are going to win some games. Maybe they win this one. I don't know. But, you know, someone tweeted this out today, and I either liked it or retweeted. I can't remember, but you know, in other sports, you have the spread to kind of even things out a little bit. You don't have that in baseball, and maybe you know you start looking at alternate spreads or whatever. But the way baseball's played, you know, there's just not really a way to handle how bad this White Sox team is, and we back bad teams in other sports all the time, but it's really hard to back them at this point. I wouldn't be on them here on Friday night. The model says minus 232 is an A grade, and I'm seeing a price better than that right now, so I'd be looking at the Rays. The only question you have to ask yourself, of course, if it's money line or run line or the minus one, and again, if you're looking for the A grade threshold for the run line, that's available over on Dub Club as well as the first five stuff, although with the White Sox bullpen, there's no reason to fade them first five. In fact, they won the first five here on Thursday, and I think they won the first five earlier in the week as well. It's really just that terrible bullpen, and you want the extra time for the fact that their offense is terrible for them to struggle to score runs, right? So if I'm fading the White Sox, I don't really want to do it first five. I'd rather go full game. But again, that run line A grade threshold, whether you're playing run line, minus one, money line, or whatever, all that information over on Dub Club. But you are looking at pretty good value, I think, on the Rays here. And again, this total is projected total is only 7.7, only because of how bad Chris Flexen is. Otherwise, this would be a total that you would eye at 6 because this weather is going to be very pitcher friendly. The counter is that White Sox bullpen and Chris Flexen are so bad that it doesn't really matter if you can't hit home runs, because if you're giving up line drive singles and walking people, you're going to get runs in bunches. And so if it wasn't for the terrible pitching, a great time to go under, but it's always scary to go under when the White Sox pitching is involved. It's always scary to go over when the White Sox offense is involved. They're just an incredible team. It's so incredible how bad they are. But looking at the Rays one way or the other there, find your good angle you like and attack it. The market's still just not figuring out how bad this White Sox team really is. Reds and the Rangers, another nice night in Arlington where they could open the roof if they feel like it. Low 70s. Graham Ashcraft and Nathan Eovaldi Ashcraft better than that 5.24 ERA, but maybe not by a ton. The xFIP's been pretty solid this year, but his FIP's a little bit higher than that. And, of course, when we look at him before in previous seasons, pretty average. The Rangers should have an edge here at starting pitcher with Eovaldi, who actually underlying metrics aren't as good as that ERA, but we have enough historical data on him to know that we think he'll be a pretty solid pitcher going forward. So an edge there at starting pitcher, an edge of the bullpen, edge in the offense for the Rangers at home. This is all Rangers. The Reds has been a team that's played, you know, probably better than I would have expected. But again, my preaching on the Reds, and we got, you know, a play of the day winner here, fading them on Thursday with the Phillies, is they've played a very weak schedule and they're barely over 500. They start playing more teams like the Rangers and losing more of them, they'll be at 500 before you know it. And that's about how good this team is, but they're being priced like they're a little better than that. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it here. So this is, to me, all Rangers or pass, but that's kind of been the way it's been. If you've been watching the show, you know that that's my feelings. And that doesn't mean we've won all those games. It just means it's good to fade the Reds in one way, shape, or form, especially because they just seem to be a team that's all about the starting pitching, and I don't think they have a starting pitcher edge in this one. I'd rather have Eovaldi. So the current price for the Rangers, definitely in that A-grade threshold. Another game might be looking at the minus one, though, just to take some of the bite off. Might be looking at a moneyline parlay. A couple different ways you can play this, but as always, we're looking to fade the Reds. Yankees and the Brewers, low 50s. Roof projected to be closed for this one. Luis Gill for the Yankees, a pretty solid start to the season for him. Underlying metrics, maybe look for a little bit of regression, but so far so good. You can't be that upset with him. Colin Ray has been fantastic so far, but the underlying metrics are a concern for him. I just don't see him continuing that. I think Gill's the much better pitcher in this regard, and I think Gill is due for maybe a little bit of regression, but I think Colin Ray is due for a lot. I just don't see him continuing what he's done. Gill might be due for a little bit of regression, but with this Brewers offense, they did score a little bit here on Thursday, but still overall struggling. You expect him to have a pretty decent night, and if Colin Ray is going to have some regression, an offense like the Yankees is built to take advantage of that. So this is one where the Yankees are favored. They should be favored. They are pretty close to being an A-grade here at the current market price. Model says the A-grade threshold is minus 120. They win this 57% of the time. Twins and the Angels to some late games here, 9:40 p.m. Eastern. Low 60s, wind maybe out, maybe across. Another one to keep an eye on for the wind, because if it's out, this is going to play like a game where we expect more like 9 runs. If it's across, probably more like 8. Not exactly that, probably more like 8.2 to 8.7 or something. It's probably not quite that big of a difference, but closer to 9 if the wind's blowing out, closer to 8 if the wind's blowing across, because it's a 10 to 15 mile an hour wind. So enough wind to matter exactly what direction is going. Bailey Ober versus Patrick Sandoval. Sandoval, much better than his ERA, but still not good. Bailey Ober, probably slightly better than his ERA. Okay. Relievers, I trust the Twins relievers. I don't trust the Angels relievers. Offensively, I trust the Angels offensively and don't trust the Twins. That's a little bit of a battle there. With the two pitchers, starting pitchers being pretty close to even, this one's going to be a tough one to peg. A pretty even game according to the model, 50-50 with the slightest of edges to the Twins according to the model. And lo and behold, the market has the Twins as slight favorites right now. But right now, I think it's priced really well. So for the full game, I want no piece of this. Don't know the first five market yet. None of it's out yet, unfortunately. So I can't really talk about it. But knowing that Angels relievers are their weak point, Angels first five might make some sense. I don't really want to get in a battle with the Twins bullpen, with the Angels bullpen versus the Twins bullpen. So first five Angels might make some sense. Depends on the price. If the market prices that in, you just pass, and it ain't worth it. That's why it's all about the thresholds of what is a good price and can you find it? And the question is there, can we find a good price for the Angels first five? My hunch is maybe. It's something I'm really looking for. And the reason why is if the market is treating this as Bailey Ober's the much better starting pitcher, I think we're going to have a little bit of an edge on Angels first five, because I think he might be a little bit better, but I'm not sure it's by much, and you can honestly make a case there about even. So if the market is really down on Sandoval because he's given up some runs, It's nothing I'm worried about. So Angels first five might be a way to look. But again, if the market then realizes that and says the only reason this is a 50-50 game is because the Angels terrible and prices the Angels first five at, you know, minus 115, I ain't taking it then, right? So it just depends on what the threshold is. And again, all that first five information over on Dub Club. Phillies and the Padres, chilly night, San Diego, about 60 degrees. Wind will be blowing again in or across at about 10 miles an hour, maybe up to 15. So want also to check back on there, but a very pitcher-friendly ballpark. And if that wind's blowing in at all, it's going to be really difficult to hit a home run. Aaron Nola and Joe Musgrove. Nola's been very subjected to the home run ball last year and this year, so he might really need that wind to be blowing in. Or if nothing else, he needs some help with that ballpark. Musgrove, I think he's pitching a little bit better as of late, but he started off terrible. Folks, these are two pitchers I roster in Dynasty, so I'm very well acquainted with both these guys. Very concerned about both of these guys, as my Dynasty team's doing pretty well, but no thanks to these guys. It's more thanks to the fact that I also have a guy like Zach Wheeler. Underlying metrics for Nola are an interesting case. He gave up a lot of home runs last year. He's given up a lot of home runs this year. That's the main difference between FIP and XFIP. His FIP's higher because he's giving up the home runs. The XFIP is lower because XFIP is more built to say home runs are fairly consistent aside from what ballpark you play in. That's mostly true. There's always exceptions, and that's why we always look at a bunch of these different metrics and try to get a full picture. We don't want to ever just look at one thing, right? And or if you're looking at one thing, it's because it's a mix of all the things, right? And so it's kind of looking at both. Do you believe he's more of if you believe more in FIP or XFIP on this, determines how you feel about Nola. And I think in this game, I think it's more of an XFIP thing where the home run rate will come back down because the park and it's a chilly night in San Diego. But I mean, he's given up so many home runs. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, that's been his real only weak spot here the last 2 years. If you get rid of that, he's looking fantastic. But the home run ball just inflates and gives up a ton of runs because he gives up too many home runs. And that's one of the things that pitchers really do control is home runs. You know, you control when the guy just crushes the crap out of the ball, right? On average in the long run, right? Not necessarily one of that. Musgrove is kind of in a similar boat, a little bit higher FIP than XFIP. But his thing is less about FIP versus XFIP home run rate. His is just more about he's starting to pitch a little bit better, but it's like, which eye do you close? How do you view that? What's real? You know, is it just he plays some weaker teams here recently, or is he really starting to get better? Is there any form of underlying injury, nagging injury, that sort of thing? So two pitchers that have some big question marks, but at least thankfully for them playing in this ballpark on a chilly night, maybe with the wind blowing in can help them out. Projecting the total under 7 for this one. So if you could find a 7.5, you almost have to fire away at the under and say, maybe both of these pitchers aren't good, but one of them will be good enough. Maybe one of these teams wins 6-1 and you land right at 7 runs. So I'm not dying to go under 7. Under 7.5 would make a lot of sense. This could be another first five under where we just say, look, I don't really trust both of these pitchers, but in these conditions, surely one of them can pitch well. I don't think both of them get lit up because it's just hard to score that many runs in Petco Park. With regards to the side, model says the Phillies should be slight favorites, and lo and behold, they are slight favorites. So this is another situation where we build the model to help us figure out what a good price is, and sometimes the answer is there just isn't one. And so right now, with regards to the side, I don't think there's a great edge in this one. Diamondbacks and the Mariners around 50 degrees in Seattle. Wind will be blowing out in this one about 10 miles an hour, and that's an interesting note because otherwise with this temperature in this ballpark, we would say we'd really expect almost no runs to happen because a 50-degree night in Seattle with the wind blowing in, that ballpark plays just so many like 2-0 games in those conditions. Wind blowing out, you might see a few more runs than the insanely low scoring one. The other thing that's going to help runs is Emerson John Hancock, I don't know if his middle name is John, but it should be, not a very good pitcher, hasn't done well this year. Underlying metrics, he's not, you know, not supporting. The Diamondbacks offense is pretty good. It can put up some runs in a hurry. And so expect the Diamondbacks offense to have some success there. The Mariners offense going in the wrong direction. And in theory, you should struggle with Zach Gallen. Gallen's been a guy who's done better at home, but his underlying metrics, his ERA, everything has been so good. He's been such a strong, consistently solid pitcher. You expect him to have some success here. I've got the Diamondbacks winning this about 3 out of 5 times, 60% of the time. We are right around the A-grade threshold for backing the Diamondbacks. We love backing the Mariners. You know, we've backed them a lot over the years. They've been really good to us. But the starting pitcher discrepancy here is pretty dang big between Gallen and Hancock. And the offensive discrepancy has gotten bigger and bigger as well. The Mariners offense at one point had hopes of being right around league average and is kind of going the wrong direction. The Diamondbacks offense does randomly struggle like the night after they score like 17. They put up like 17 runs or something crazy number multiple times this year. But when you're putting up that kind of those kind of numbers, you have a good offense. So there's just too many things that point towards the Diamondbacks here. They should be bigger favorites than they are. So the only question is, of course, how you're playing them. But I'm looking Diamondbacks here. And again, that A grade threshold of minus 133 is something you should be looking out for. Because if you can get that price or better, I say fire away on the Snakes. Pirates and the Giants about mid-50s for this one. Wind will be blowing out at about 15 to 20 miles an hour. But if you've been with me for any time, you've heard me say this before, the wind doesn't really matter in San Francisco because it swirls. The direction is blowing out, but the way it hits, it'll be blowing out to one part, into one part, and dead at a different part. It's the weirdest park in baseball if you ever see those wind charts. So it matters less there than anything else. So I still think it's going to be pitcher-friendly. May not be as pitcher friendly as it could otherwise be, but still going to be a pretty pitcher friendly night in the Bay Area. Quinn Priester and Kyle Harrison. Priester struggled in his first start of the season. Underlying metrics, not a big, you know, deal for one start, but weren't very good. Kyle Harrison's the much better pitcher, though this year it's been some mixed results for him. Mixed results for both these offenses. Both these offenses have had times. Even this season, we're like 4 weeks into the season at this point. Both of them have had times where they look like they could do some damage and be respectable, get some help from their pitching, and maybe compete for a wild card spot. And then both of them have had times where you're looking at them going, this team might be the worst offense in the league outside of, you know, Chicago and Colorado. So ups and downs for both offenses. Interesting, though, both bullpens pretty good. The difference in this game, according to the model, comes down to two things. Number one, the location gives the Giants a little bit of an edge, and Kyle Harrison's a better pitcher than Quinn Priester. That's really it. Offensively, I don't trust either offense as far as I could throw them. And both sets of bullpens are pretty solid. So the model says Giants win this 57% of the time. Here's the issue. The Giants are favored, and they should be favored, but they might be favored by a little bit too much. I'm not sure there's enough value to jump on the Pirates right now at the current price. Current price would be really C grade at the moment. But again, first five market could be profitable for us when that comes out, because I am curious to see if the market is viewing some of the discrepancy between these two teams, just in the starting pitching or in the bullpen. That's again the big difference of where we can sometimes disagree with the market. So the first five model done really great. So one where I would trust what it says there if an edge were to show up. Otherwise, though, not really dying to play either side. And again, the model is projecting for 8.2 runs. Again, all these metrics on screen and way more available over on Dub Club, along with the Discord chat, full slate of picks. And hopefully I'm teaching you to fish here with regards to looking for the right prices and giving you a ton of information to let you know exactly what I would play. Hopefully you got some really good information. Again, if you want all the information more spoon-fed to you, and more, Dub Club is the place to be. I'll try to give you everything I possibly can over there and make it worth your while. Otherwise, though, as always, I wish you the best of luck. And remember, you can eat your betting money, but please don't bet your eating money.